Hey everyone, it's Caroline.
And Helen.
We wanted to pop in to let you know that this episode was recorded in early March 2020, before we understood the severity of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Don't fret, we have no plans to stop releasing the podcast every week. It just means that you won't hear us acknowledge the pandemic during this episode. We are currently staying at home and physical distancing, and we can't stress enough how important it is that we all do so.
If you want to help support us and the show and get access to almost 2 years of bonus episodes, you can support us on Patreon. Find out more at patreon.com/lovetosew.
We're both so thankful for the sewing community right now and for you for listening. We're sending our love and support to you wherever you are. And now, on to the show. Hello and welcome. I'm Helen.
And I'm Carolyn.
And we love to sew. This is a podcast for makers where we talk about sewing a handmade wardrobe and bring you interviews with inspiring creatives and small business owners in our community.
This week, we're chatting about documenting your makes. We discuss the value of recording your making process and how you can implement this into your sewing. We also share our top tips for taking great photos and some planning advice for Me Made May.
Planning for Me Made May?
Yeah, you should be planning. Like yesterday. Thanks to Skillshare for supporting Love to Sew. Take the next step in your creative journey with thousands of inspiring classes for creative and curious people.
Their classes cover pretty much every topic you could imagine, including illustration, design, photography, video, and more. Get 2 free months of premium membership at skillshare.com/lovetosew.
Hey, Helen, did you know that around 20,000 dedicated sewists listen to each episode of Love to Sew?
20,000?
Yeah, that is thousands of amazing listeners who are dedicated to sewing and are just as obsessed with fabric, notions, and patterns as we are. Maybe.
If you are a small or big business in the sewing world, our listeners want to hear what you have to offer. Right now, we are slashing our advertising rates to help you reach our audience.
Email Sam at info@lovetosewpodcast.com to find out more about advertising on Love to Sew. That's info@lovetosewpodcast.com. And now, on to the show. Hi, Helen.
Hi, Caroline.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm actually pretty excited for this episode because I think I need to come up with a cool new journaling system for my makes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited too because I love Me Made May. I love the month of May, and this is coming out right before Me Made May. So I'm real pumped.
It's true. So what's your pledge?
I'm going to share outfit of the day photos every day, and I'm pledging to wear Me Made head to toe.
Head to toe.
H2T.
Love it. Yeah. Including underwear?
No. Well, I mean, my underwear are all handmade. But yeah, not including like socks and undergarments because I don't have a handmade bras right now.
I like it.
But yeah, everything visible.
Cool.
Hopefully will be Me Made.
Yeah.
If all goes as planned. What about you?
I think I'm going to keep mine a little looser. I am planning to share my outfit of the days in my Instagram stories. And as per our discussion with Rachel, I want to do some more videos and different poses and some seated poses. But I think my main goal is going to be to wear some of those garments that I've made, but I haven't worn very often because, I don't know, they're a little bit extra for my at-home work-from-home lifestyle. Some of the jumpsuits that I've made and things like that, I don't always wear those on the day-to-day. It's hard to choose them over the sweatpants and t-shirts.
It's going to be an interesting challenge for you because you're back to working from home this year.
Exactly. Yeah.
No longer having to get dressed and leave the house.
No, so but I want to get dressed.
Are you going
to
be wearing those printed jumpsuits for the UPS delivery guy? Like, what?
This is the goal, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to try and get dressed for work in my handmade garments and also document them because that's a big fun part of Me Made May as well. So yeah, I don't have a formula I'm going to follow though.
Not an essential part as we're going to talk about later, but it is a part of Me Made May if you want it to be.
True.
I'm excited. I'm excited to see your photos too.
Aw, thanks. All right. We have a question here from Tiffany.
Hi, ladies. My name is Tiffany. I'm from Northern California. I'm on Instagram as Tiffany T Designs. And my 2020 goal for sewing is dedicate time weekly to sewing. And with that, I want to increase my frequency of posts on Instagram. With that, I do have a question. How do people, other sewists, make time for picturing and uploading? Like, every time you finish a garment, do you just, like, throw hair and makeup on and go outside and take photos? Or do people, like, make time weekly to take photos? How do people do it? I want to increase my frequency, but I don't always, am not always photo ready. So I would love to hear something about that. All right. Love the show. Absolutely love listening to talk about sewing when I'm not sewing. All right. Have a great one. Bye.
Thanks for your voicemail, Tiffany. This is such a great question, and we definitely are going to answer it today. We're going to share some simple and easy ways that you can take some nice and clear photos of your makes. One thought that I have is, like a lot of things in life, done is better than perfect. And I think that applies to photos as well. I don't think that you need to get all your hair and makeup done before you take a photo. Even if it's going in your feed, like, I find it super refreshing when people just share selfies on their feed or mirror photos on their feed. If you are excited about something that you just made, it's so much more relatable if you just snap a photo of it and put it online versus worrying about making it look perfect.
I totally agree. Some of my favorite pictures are the, what I call the fresh off the machine shot, because the smile is the biggest, yeah. Right? That's the moment. So if you want to put that on at 11 p.m. in your sewing room when you look frazzled and you're maybe a little sweaty from doing those buttonholes or putting in that zipper, and take a mirror selfie and post that, I'm all for it. I think that is what I really want to see when I'm on Instagram. So I think that's a lot of fun. I take professional, I'm putting that in air quotes, pictures for my blog. And we also have a lot of fun. I get dolled up and we go out on location and Sam takes pictures and we have a fun time hanging out together. Sometimes we get in a few little arguments, but, you know, mostly it's a real good time. So I think you can do whichever version of photo taking you enjoy.
Yeah, I agree. And it doesn't even have to be a photo where you're necessarily modeling the garment. If you just want to share your excitement about the garment, you can share a picture of it hanging on a hanger. You can share a flat lay on your bed. You can share even just a little corner of it, a little sneaky peek for your followers. It doesn't have to be the whole garment all the time. So there's lots of options there for you to post more frequently, but not necessarily feel like it always has to be a big to-do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so today's all about documenting your makes. And this is a great way to track your sewing. We've talked a lot on the show about planning for your makes. So thinking about which fabrics and patterns you want to use and when you're going to get sewing and when you're going to do all the steps involved. But documenting your makes is kind of the during and after part of the sewing so that you can take some time to reflect on what you've made and also take notes about what you did as far as adjustments, what size you made, what your measurements were at the time, what fabric you used, whether or not that was a good choice, and learn from those experiences.
Yeah, we've all been there where we pull out a pattern or want to make a garment again and you're wondering, like, did I lengthen the crotch of these pants? Like, did I take this in? I think I remember taking this in, but I'm not really sure. And then you have to pull out the garment and try to compare it to the pattern and figure out if you made any adjustments. That's why keeping records of your decisions throughout your sewing process is really valuable for, like, future Helen and Caroline and future you.
Oh, totally. Yeah, it will help you know what size to make this time and identify any alterations. Maybe you want to take it one step further and do another adjustment to get an even better fit. And it helps you learn fabrics and notions. We get a lot of comments and feedback about how difficult it is to pair fabrics to patterns. So taking some notes about the ones that you do work with, maybe you even have a little swatch in your notebook. You can kind of take the documenting process as far as you want to. And we're going to talk about that today.
Yeah. I also really love the idea of taking notes on instructions. So if you are one of those people that prints out your instructions, taking notes on those trickier steps when you finally figure out, you know, what that means, or if you have something that you want to do to speed up the
process or something that you've tried that you think works a little bit better than maybe what they're recommending in the instructions, you can take notes there and have that record.
Mm-hmm. Not only does it help you with your sewing practice, but it also helps you notice gaps in your wardrobe or trends in your sewing. Maybe you're making a few too many Mandy Boat tees.
Impossible.
Or you're not making enough of those basics like undies or leggings. And also recognizing which projects are bringing you the most joy. If you have a little sewing journal, flipping through and remembering, oh, I had so much fun making that coat. Maybe I should try another more complex project like a coat.
Yeah, it also is such a great way to track your progress over a period of time, because maybe you want to look back every once in a while and see like how far you've come, especially as a new sewist. One of my favorite things in my sewing journal slash notebook is at the beginning, I have a few pages that I've set aside where I just list off what I've sewn in the year. And I love looking back and being like, oh, wow, I've made 20 things so far this year. You know, like it's such a great way to just quickly reflect on what you've been sewing and see sort of like a bird's eye view of your practice.
That's such a great idea. You could also have some dedicated pages for skills you've learned. So you could just look at a list of like, that's when I learned how to do an invisible zipper. And then I did buttonholes. And then I learned how to do darts. And then, you know, it could go on and on. And you could see all of those skills there. Great if you're starting out.
Definitely. So we're going to set you up with a few ideas on how to document your makes today. And we're also going to share some photo taking tips, because I think that's a whole other element of documenting, not just writing notes and keeping track of changes or modifications, but also just, you know, having photos that you can look back on of your accomplishments and the things that you've made. Of course, as we mentioned, Me Made May is almost here. So we're going to give you some tips also for how to plan for that, because I do think that you will be setting yourself up for success if you're doing a little bit of pre-planning for Me Made May, and, you know, give you some tips for sharing your makes online if that's something you want to do.
Yeah, totally.
All right. So let's talk about our own experience documenting our makes. I want to know, do you journal? How do you keep track of things that you made?
I am actually in a transition period. I would like to start journaling. I've been inspired by your notebook. I think I'm going to start my own, because over the past few years, as I've been sewing more and more, I've been using my blog as my primary journal space and documenting tool. And it's great because there's tons of photos in there. And I try to put in what alterations I made and mention the fabric and link to the fabric and pattern and all that stuff in the blog tutorials. But in the last maybe year and a half, I've been slowing down a bit on blogging about my own personal sewing and focusing more on blogging about our patterns and hacks for our patterns and other tutorials and teaching moments. So I'm not getting everything that I make up on the blog. And that's totally fine. But it means that I can't look back at my blog anymore as this record of everything I've ever made. Mm. But I do love looking back on it. There's like, I think 4 years now of things that I've made. And it's so much fun to go back and look at the old posts. And just reading them too gives me this real sense of where I was at the time with my business and my life. And it is just like having a diary or a journal. So I love blogging for that. If you're interested in starting a blog, it doesn't need to be for anyone else. It can just be for you.
Totally.
Yeah. But I'm excited about starting a journal. We talk on Patreon about what we sew every month. And so I've been using that as a bit of a tracker. I can look back and see, here's what I said I was interested in sewing, and here's what I actually made. So I think it's time to take that information and start writing it down in one place.
Yeah, it is fun that we get to talk about sewing on Patreon each month. It's like a nice way to just touch base and check each other's progress, call each other out if we haven't made the thing we said we were going to make,
yep.
Poke a little fun at each other, but also just be able to celebrate those makes that we have made and talk about why we love them. I enjoy that too. And I also have that small notebook where I record my measurements, my size selection, and a few notes about a project when I'm working on something. I don't do it for everything, but I would like to get better at remembering to take notes. Sometimes when I'm making something that I've made before, I don't necessarily do it. But yeah, if it's a new project where it's like a brand new pattern, I'm like cutting out a size, I try to take a record of it, because it's not always easy to remember what size was, like what were my measurements at the time and what size I selected. Then you can kind of compare it to what your measurements are currently and if you need to try a different size or not.
Yeah. I'm curious what kind of notebook you're using, and do you incorporate any kind of visual aspect like a little stapling in a little piece of the fabric or drawing a little picture?
I don't always do the fabric, except if I need to go to a store and like get a matching thread or something. I'll bring my notebook and I'll make sure I have a little piece of the fabric stapled in there. But sometimes I do a little sketch, like I'll share a picture of this for Frocktails 2019. I did a little sketch of my outfit. I was going back and forth on what I wanted to make. So I did a little sketch and I was like, okay, that's the outfit that I want to make. And then that actually came to fruition. So that's a really fun example. But yeah, I'll usually, you know, maybe I'll do a little sketch. I'll write down my measurements. It's a little notebook, kind of similar to like a Moleskine, just with blank pages.
Okay.
No lines, no grids, no dots. No, nothing crazy. And I'm messy. Like, I'm not trying to make it look, you know, perfect and polished, yeah. But you can totally do that. And I've seen some really cool versions of that.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I keep it really simple and low bar for me because I'm a low bar kind of gal.
It's nice to have something like that in your sewing room next to your machine. You can jot things down.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Yeah, it's great to have. So in terms of online presence, some of us do like to share our makes on social media, and this can act as sort of a record of the making process. So you can share on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. If you have a blog, like you said, Helen, that's a great way to track what you're making and have it all in one place. And that can be quite beautiful to look back on those blog posts. But we also want to share some quick like social media tips, some best practices if you are sharing your makes on Instagram. Obviously, we've talked about this a lot in previous episodes, but let's recap some of that here.
Yeah. So when you share a finished photo of your make and you're hoping to kind of interact with the online sewing world, it's great to include the details of your garment. It will also help you from getting a lot of comments of people asking, what pattern did you use? What fabric did you use? So you want to use the pattern hashtag that will link to other patterns under that collection, that hashtag collection, when people search for it. And you can also mention the designer by putting the at symbol in front of their name, or you can tag the photo with the designer as well so that they will then see it in their tagged photo collection. I love seeing those.
Wait, so mentioning is when you at the designer in the body of your
caption,
and tagging is when you like tap the photo and actually tag that designer, and then that photo will then show up in their profile under their tagged photos, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So you can do one or both. I typically tend to mention more than I tag, and I'm fine either way as a designer when people tag me. I also search my hashtags every day to see what you all are up to with my patterns. So I do see pretty much everything that comes in.
Do you find it easier to locate things? Like, what's the easiest, what do you look at when you're trying to find, you know, people that have used your pattern?
I usually am looking for a specific pattern, so I'll go to the pattern hashtag.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. You can also tag the fabric or Notion store that you purchased items from to complete your project. For example, Blackbird Fabrics, we have hashtag Blackbird Fabrics, but we also include these hang tags with all of our fabrics where we put a specific hashtag that you can use for that fabric collection. For example, BF Viscose Linen Noil, or BF Linen Blend, or BF Prints. So you can then go and look back at all of the Blackbird Fabrics prints that people have made things out of. And it's a nice way to sort of, I don't know, curate those hashtags so that you can see a specific, you know, fabric, because we have so many.
Amazing source of inspiration. If you get a fabric, like, I love looking at them because I'll get fabric from you and I'll be like, oh, what are other people making with double gauze? Mm. And then I can just look up BF double gauze and I can see everything.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's working really well. I'm glad that our idea kind of came to fruition with that.
Yeah. So obviously patterns, fabrics, you can also include additional hashtags to get included in other groups, like hashtag handmade wardrobe, or hashtag me made every day, hashtag curvy sewing, hashtag men who sew. You can get into little different niches in the sewing world by using these hashtags. You could even have a personal hashtag that's just for your make. So if you're active on social, and let's say you are not only sharing sewing stuff, but you're also sharing your family and your food and your dog and your vacation and all that good stuff, you could have a personal sewing hashtag that's like hashtag Caroline Somos Makes. And then you just click on your own hashtag to see everything you've made.
Mm-hmm. That's such a good point. Our past guest, Elise Joy, does this so well with all of these little pockets of things that she shares on social media. She has special hashtags for her daughters and special hashtags for her house and special hashtags for her making. And it's so fun to go back and look at them. And she has quite a few followers, so she'll reshare that in stories so you can go and look. And it's not necessarily always personal, but I think it's really fun.
Yeah, it really is. And you can do similar tagging and hashtags in IG stories. So tagging the designer in your story or including the hashtag of the garment piece, like hashtag Dawn Jeans or hashtag MN Dawn. And be mindful of designers that do have their own special system for hashtagging, mm-hmm. like Megan Nielsen uses hashtag MN, the name of the pattern.
Yeah, Tilly from Tilly and the Buttons does, like, for example, hashtag sewing Cleo, I believe, or hashtag sewing whatever other pattern name.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely different designers have different hashtags. Mm-hmm.
I love when people tag me or at me in their stories because that allows me to add their post to my story. If you don't at the designer, they can't do that.
It's true.
They don't have that ability. So if you want to be shared, then at the designer, and then you know you might get shared in their story, which is kind of fun.
Yeah. It's a great way for people to discover you.
Yeah, exactly.
So check out our socializing episodes for more tips. We did episode 5, How to Socialize, the vintage one. And then episode 79, Socializing 2.0, is also a really great one where we share some additional tips and updates. Thanks to Skillshare for supporting Love to Sew. We love that Skillshare is committed to creating a learning community and a membership with meaning. Now is a better time than ever to tap into that support of fellow creatives who provide encouragement, communication, and inspiration.
It's been easy to feel overwhelmed lately, and even when I don't feel like I have time to sew, it's nice to fit in some of the quick, inspiring lessons from Skillshare and vent some stress through spontaneous acts of creativity. Like, I've been watching all of the plants come out, and I'm thinking that I should take Sarah Boccacini Meadows Botanical Illustration Watercolor course. It would be such a great way to capture that spring magic and make some time for creative self-care.
That sounds lovely. Since we're talking about documenting your makes today, I wanted to recommend another great resource on Skillshare for upping your photography game. Check out Instagram-worthy photography. Shoot, edit, and share with Brandon Wolfel.
I always love learning new tips for getting nice shots of my me-mades. Explore your creativity and get 2 free months of premium membership at skillshare.com/love to sew.
That's 2 whole months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. Get started and join today by heading to skillshare.com/love to sew.
So in order to have pictures to share online, you need to take pictures.
Yeah.
And you also don't have to put those photos online. You can create albums or collections on your phone or on, you know,
your computer
so that you can reference them later and store them in one place. Maybe you're even storing them in the cloud so you won't lose them. And it can really help if you're trying to achieve a certain sewing goal for the year, like make 9 2020, or you're trying to make 50 things this year, whatever it is you're up to. It can help to track that too.
I love doing that with my outfit of the days. I love having that album that I can look back at and see this grid of all of my outfits for the month the year, hopefully one day. But yeah, with some photos, you can even record comments, which is really cool. You could also plan to take progress photos as you go along and then make notes in the comments about those or don't. Just like documenting the process, I think, is also really valuable because mm-hmm. then you can go back and look at each step.
Yeah, it gives you more content to share too if you are planning to build out, say, a blog post. Having progress pics is really fun. If you have an iPhone, it's really easy to go into your albums, press the plus button, and add your photos or your makes or your outfit of the days to an album. And you can even share that album with your fellow sewing friends if you're using Apple products. It's super easy. And if you're not, you could do something like a Dropbox or a Google Drive. I love the idea of, if you have some close friends in the sewing world, maybe you're not in the same location, but having that place of connection where you're sharing your makes, it's like a little private social community.
Yeah, a group chat would also be really fun with friends, like a WhatsApp chat if you guys have a mix of like Android and iPhones. You want to avoid the like weird I didn't get that photo situation. Yeah. WhatsApp is a great app for that. Speaking of apps, if you want to keep track and document your makes and keep track of all those photos and stuff, you can use something like Trello, Evernote, Google Photos, Dropbox, all of those things.
So many different ways to do it. I like the idea of having things digitally, especially accessible on my phone. If I'm thinking about what I want to make, if I'm sitting on the couch dreaming about sewing, and I can go in and see what I've made lately. And, you know, you're always looking at Instagram and Pinterest, and it's nice to have everything accessible from your digital device.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, what about journaling, note-taking? Let's go back to the basics, pen to paper.
Yes, there's something really special about pen to paper for me. Yeah. I love it. I don't do it often enough. Sometimes when I'm taking notes by hand, I'm like, do I even remember how to write by hand? It's like really not something I do that often anymore. So it feels really special to be able to do that for sewing sometimes. It can also be a way to get prepared and organized in the process of making, because there are so many steps. And it's another way that you can get creative if you want to. So it doesn't have to be as simple as just words on a piece of paper. There are some seriously beautiful, like, scrapbooky type journals out there. We're going to link some inspo in the show notes. I also love following Not a Primary Color on Instagram. Sienna does these amazing kind of drawings with colors, and she has like words in there, and it's like so artistic and gorgeous. And I just think she's super talented. So I think that's a great inspiration point for people.
Yeah. If you want to do more drawing, that reminds me, you could get something like My Body Model and have your body, so you could sketch it out on there after you finish it, and then you could have more drawings in your arsenal, or you can just freestyle it.
Yeah. You could also include finished photos of your makes in your journal. That would be so easy with like a Polaroid camera or an Instax camera, which are pretty easy to find these days. You could do it with just a printer. If you take a photo on your phone and print it out and stick it in there, lots of ways you can do that.
Yeah, I definitely need to get on this notebook train.
Yeah.
All right. In addition to My Body Model, we have some other ones that we want to mention that can help you do some planning, some documenting, tools that you can use for actually getting pen to paper and writing some things out. So we have our Create Your Dream Wardrobe Worksheet. That's our Love to Sew project for planning your makes, but you can also use it for documenting your makes. There's some project planning sheets in the back that could be used either way. And you can download that for free when you sign up for our newsletter and just print it out.
The Fold line also has free downloadable templates that can act as inserts for bullet journals or just a journal in general. Bullet journaling is kind of like a free form journaling process that usually doesn't use lined notebooks. It follows a bullet point process typically, but people interpret it in lots of different ways. I'm totally fascinated by bullet journaling.
Me too.
I think it's really cool to see examples of people's bullet journals because you can get so creative with it. And the Fold line also has a YouTube video on how you can bullet journal with your sewing projects.
And Closet Case Patterns has a great pants fitting worksheet that can help you track modifications you've made to your pants patterns. That is a pretty in-depth sheet, and it really helps if you are going to go through all the trouble of adjusting crotch curves and rises on pants and making them fit you perfectly. Document that process because you're going to want to repeat that potentially on your next pair of pants.
Yes. Seamwork also has a free downloadable project planner that has corresponding worksheets. That's a great resource. And So DIY has a great project planning download as well. There's a couple of them on her website. So we're going to link all of these in the show notes in case you want to check them out.
Yeah. Hey all, we wanted to take a moment to tell our fellow business owners out there about advertising opportunities with the Love to Sew podcast.
Love to Sew is the perfect place to reach thousands of enthusiastic sewists and tell them all about what you have to offer. With more and more people sewing at home and shopping online right now, it is the best way to let people know that you have what they need.
That's right. Podcast advertising is one of the most effective ways to reach a target audience. And our listeners want to hear about cool sewing businesses just like you. We even promote your business in our weekly newsletter and our Instagram stories. Where else can you advertise about your sewing product or service to such a large, dedicated audience?
Honestly, nowhere that I know of. Right now, we have an amazing deal on our podcast advertising for fellow sewing-based businesses. Seriously, it would be crazy not to take advantage of this.
Find out more by contacting Sam at info@lovetosewpodcast.com. That's info@lovetosewpodcast.com to find out more. All right, let's talk a little bit more about Me Made May and this so-called planning that we're supposed to do. So Me Made May, in case you don't know, is a hugely successful sewing challenge in the online sewing community. The creator, Zoe, who's at SoZoBlog on Instagram, started it in 2010. And we did have a whole episode with Zoe if you want to listen and hear the story behind how it all got started. Me Made May is a challenge that's designed to encourage people who make their own clothes to develop a better relationship with their handmade wardrobe. So encouraging ourselves to actually wear the items that we are making, not just make them and hang them in the closet.
Yeah. And the cool thing about Me Made May is that you really can customize the challenge to work for you. It's a low pressure challenge. It's all about what you feel like you want to do that month. So it's often associated with sharing Me Mades online, but it's supposed to be a process of self-discovery to get you more connected with your handmade wardrobe. So don't feel obligated to share your Me Made outfits online. If you don't feel like it, go with what works best for you.
Mm-hmm. So as far as planning goes, a full month of Me Made outfits and potentially documenting those outfits online can feel like a lot. And that's why we're recommending that you do a little bit of foresight, a little bit of planning, and just think about how you want to approach the month. So Caroline, what's worked for you in the past with Me Made May?
It's probably more what hasn't worked for me, because I've definitely had some like attempts at Me Made May that totally failed. I've also had some months where I've definitely done what I set out to do, but I usually do some panic sewing during Me Made May, where, you know, I end up finding these like really obvious holes in my wardrobe within the first week. And then I'm like, oh shoot, I really need some more pants, or else like, what am I gonna wear? Because everyone's looking at the same thing every day. So for me, I found that low pressure works best. I try to wear mostly handmade and document and share when I feel like it. Obviously, this year I'm going a little bit higher bar because we have this great selfie mirror at Blackbird Fabrics that I love to use. And I feel like I have a really robust Me Made wardrobe at this point in my sewing journey. So I'm ready to do all Me Made every day and document it. But don't worry if that's not something that you want to commit to, because I think it's pretty common that people will commit to that and then they just end up feeling guilty at the end of the month and like disappointed in yourself. So it's not really about that. It's really about how, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I appreciate that reminder, because in the past, I've also had those moments where I come out the gate swinging and a week in, I'm, you know, having trouble mustering up the courage to take those photos and post them. Or I just don't feel like, you know, dragging Sam outside to have him take my picture. So I do think that some planning will help me with my Me Made May this year. I usually just try my best to wear some of the things in my wardrobe that aren't getting a lot of attention. That's always what I like to focus on, because I do have so many fun pieces and I don't always feel like I have the opportunity to wear those fun pieces. So Me Made May almost feels like permission to do so. And I really like that about it.
Yeah. Definitely. So it's really important, like we said, to determine what approach you want to take and the amount of time and effort you want to put into it. Thinking about that in advance, I think, is going to help you to follow through with the plan in the end.
So you could commit to wearing a Me Made piece every day, or once a week, or once for the whole month, whatever works for you, and simply taking a moment to look in the mirror, see how that garment is making you look and making you feel, most importantly. Do you like the pieces you've selected? Do you like the outfits you put together? Do you feel better when you're wearing your Me Made clothes? Do you feel that sense of inner magic that I made this feeling? And taking a moment to reflect on your Me Made so that you can connect with why you love to sew and identify whether you actually love the style of the garment, the color, the fabric. It helps to inform maybe your next things that you're going to make.
Yeah. You can also take a photo on your phone each day and store it in a separate folder on your phone, like we mentioned. And this is going to give you a place to review and reflect on your Me Mades throughout the month, having them all in one folder.
Yes. Taking some time to journal during Me Made May about how your clothes are making you feel, what you like and what you don't like. That can be a really simple way. Just writing out a few words that describe how you feel when you were wearing it, like confident, strong, happy. And again, that just helps to inform your future makes.
Yeah. And I think this is really valuable, even if you've already taken notes about the garment right after you finished it, because things can change, right? Your preferences might change. You might love a garment right after you made it, and then after a few wears, realize that it pulls in this weird place, or that you're not nuts about the color, or maybe that color doesn't match with the rest of your wardrobe and you can't figure out how to wear it. So I think it's really valuable to not only reflect immediately after sewing something, but also down the line. And a month like Me Made May is the perfect time to do that in a really like intensive way.
Yeah. And we talked about sharing online. And if you do want to share online, you could do an Instagram story or an Instagram post, share your outfit of the day. You could share in a Facebook group. You could make a blog or a YouTube video and include those details like patterns, fabrics, adjustments. So you could use that as a reference, go back and see, what did I say when I made that I did? And the more you write, the better. You do not need to edit your photos, and you do not need to do full hair, makeup, heels. You can just take some basic pictures and totally participate, and everyone is going to love you.
Yeah, definitely. And if you're sharing in stories, you can make a highlight of your stories on your profile so that people can go back and see that whole month as the month goes on. And you can also do both. You can share on your feed and then reshare that photo in your stories so that people who just watch stories also get to see your outfits.
Yes, I love the crossover feed and story.
Yeah. We also love the idea of doing a video IG story or on your feed. We talked with Rachel from Minimalist Machinist about the I'm Not 2D hashtag, which we think is so great. Sharing different angles and positions, including sitting down shots for people who are in a scooter or a wheelchair and want to see what that garment looks like sitting down.
Yes, love that idea. You could also even keep a Pinterest board of your Me Made outfits over the month. It could just be a private board just for you. You can toggle that on in Pinterest so that no one else is going to see this board. And this could connect you with which outfits you like best and act as a comparison board for your dream wardrobe inspiration board. So you can have your inspo board, your actual wardrobe board, and see if they are, dare I say, congruent.
You could also take photos every day and have them printed to create a scrapbook. So this would give you an opportunity to record what you wore, but also an opportunity to write out any reflections, comments, notes, all in one physical place. I love this idea.
So much fun.
I also have this dream of like printing out outfit of the day photos for May and like having like them in my sewing room on the wall for
the
month. I feel like that would be really fun because, I don't know, trying to get away from my phone a little bit more and exist in the physical world.
Stand in front of them and just admire yourself.
Or like, I don't know, it reminds me of Karen Templer, who we had on the podcast, and she was talking about how she has photographs of every item of clothing in her wardrobe and she organizes them in folders, and she uses that when she's planning out outfits or planning out her capsule wardrobe for the season. It's just such a great way to document.
The other thing you can do is go for a more high quality, and I'm saying that lightly, photo aesthetic. Take your Me Made May to the next level by planning out all your makes, getting some higher quality or maybe even professional photos taken. You might want to have a photographer buddy or a camera remote for this. Use a DSLR. You could batch photos, so you could actually think about what you want to wear each day, plan out every single outfit. Maybe in this case, you do your hair and et cetera, and you have a bunch of days of photos taken in one session. Now, I know what you're thinking. Hey, that's cheating.
It's not cheating because Me Made May is so personal, but finish your thought.
Well, I think that in some ways it could be cheating, but you need to follow through and wear those garments during the days that you actually share them. So I think it's a fun way to plan things out. And then not only do you have these nice photos and records of what you're wearing, but you also have all of your outfits chosen for the month.
Yeah.
So you have this like blueprint you can follow, and you just go back and say, today I'm wearing this, and everything can be all planned out. And then you could even do like an IG video where you're showing the I'm Not 2D angles in addition to the beautiful photos that you took, you know, the month before.
Yeah. I mean, I stand by. I still think that even if you don't follow through and wear those outfits every day, I still don't think it's cheating. Because what if your Me Made May pledge is, I want to share a different photo on Instagram every day of my Me Mades and like interact with the community about that or share about that particular make. If you're pre-planning and taking all those photos, I think that's a fun way to do it.
What a lovely loophole.
Yeah.
No, it's so true. I think I am going to do a little bit more planning. This episode's obviously coming out right before May, so we're not giving you a lot of time.
Yeah.
If you want to get ahead of the game here, but I think that it's something to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. You could definitely do each week at a time too.
Yeah. So we wanted to share some tips for taking photos, the actual photo taking process, because I know that can be a little bit challenging for some people or intimidating. Remember, you don't need a fancy camera to take good photos. So many phones now have great quality cameras, so using your phone is totally enough to get a good photo. And these are maybe just suggestions on how to improve your photography game if you're not super happy with how your photos have been turning out. And, you know, don't be too worried if you're not hitting all these points. I think it should be a fun process in the end. And personally, I think imperfect photos are more relatable.
I agree. So the first thing you might want to do is just check to see if your garment is camera ready, if there's any wrinkles that need to be ironed out or any dangly threads that didn't get clipped. It's better to remove them now than see them in the photo and be like, oh no, there's a little doink thread. Doink.
You also want to identify the tools that you might need. So are you going to take photos with your phone or are you going to use a camera that you might have? Maybe you have a tripod that you're going to use to hold your phone or camera. Maybe you have a special photography light, like one of those like donut shaped ones that make your eyes glow. Oh my gosh. You might also want to invest in a bigger mirror. We love the IKEA Hovet mirror. It's the biggest one that they sell. It's got like a chrome frame. It looks really nice up on the wall or leaned against the wall. And you can get outfit photos where it almost doesn't even look like you're in a mirror because the mirror takes up the whole photo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love my Hovet.
Yeah.
You also want to consider your light source. So a brightly lit photo can really help to showcase your make, really make it shine. And details tend to be more visible when the photo is well lit and the coloring of your fabric is more accurate as well, especially if you're using a natural light. So soft light from a window or a door is really excellent. Angle your face towards that window so your face is also getting that light.
Think about your background. I think that's also really important that your background isn't too distracting, or if it is a little bit distracting, you might want to stage it up a little bit to make your photos look a little bit more professional. Not to say that I don't love a messy background, hashtag relatable again, but you might want to think about that. So you can choose a clean space with minimal distractions. I think that's always a really great idea. So pick a white wall or, you know, a simple colored wall and take everything out of the way so that you just have that clean slate and your memates are totally going to shine. You can also have items further back in the background, like a sewing machine or a studio setup. And I think that actually creates some depth to the photo, which is quite visually appealing.
Yes. If you do have a portrait mode on your phone, you could play with that as well, because it kind of puts you in focus, knocks out the background a little bit, makes it blurry. And so it's less important what's going on back there.
Definitely. And center your shot. Aim to be around the center of the photo. This helps to achieve symmetry. And I think it looks really good because it just showcases your makes front and center.
Yeah. And of course, smile. I love seeing when people are smiling. Now, if you're not a smiley person, you don't have to smile. But I think conveying a little bit of joy, or maybe however you're genuinely feeling about the garment. So if you hate it, then, you know, an extra frown or something to go with your caption about why it didn't work out for you. Ham it up a little bit. That can be really fun on Instagram and engaging for people to look at.
Yeah, you can smize. Smile with your eyes, you know, if you're not a big smiling with your mouth person.
Yeah, totally.
Or you might not want to show your face in photos, and True. You can do some creative things that we've seen on Instagram, like people, you know, turning their head to the side so that their hair is covering their face.
Holding like a leaf in front of your face or something so it's obscured, or you can just crop your head out of it.
Yeah.
No problem.
So in closing, we want to hear from you. We want you to let us know your favorite way to document your makes. Maybe you can show us your setup, show us your little sewing room, or maybe the context of the background of your photos. Pull it back a little bit. Show us what that looks like. I'd love to see how you take a photo in a smaller space, because I know that can be a challenge for some people. Not everyone has a big blank wall to take photos against. So we want to hear all about that from you guys. Share with us on Instagram, on email, maybe send us a voicemail. We love hearing from you.
Have fun with Me Made May, y'all.
Yeah. Da-da. That's it for today's episode of Love to Sew. You can find me, Caroline, at blackbirdfabrics.com and Helen at helenscloset.patterns.com.
We're recording today in sunny Courtney, Canada, and you can get in touch with us and get links for everything we talked about in this episode at lovetosewpodcast.com.
If you are loving the show and you want to help us out, you can support us on Patreon. Contribute $5 or more a month and you'll get access to our bonus episode feed. Contribute $10 or more a month and you will get a 15% discount code for both of our shops and a bonus mini-sode. It's a pretty good deal. Go to patreon.com/lovetosew for more info.
Thanks to our amazing podcast team, Sam Humphrey and Melanie Brister and Pepper. And thank you all so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Pepper, she thanked you.
Okay. Bye.